This podcast is supported by Siemens, your partner for industrial-grade AI.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of our Industrial AI podcast. My name is Robert Weber, and today we have a special episode from India, and my guest is Praveen Vaghmare. Praveen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
You are the CEO of Presign Technology, a software company from India with a focus on CAD and PLM. And before we start talking about CAD and PLM, please introduce yourself briefly to the listeners, Praveen.
My name is Praveen, and I am a founder and CEO of Presign Technologies. India, and we have offices in the US as well right now. We hope we expand in Europe as well.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Our customers are mainly in the North America and Europe and also in India. As Robert mentioned. So before starting Presign, actually, I'll introduce myself. I'm a mechanical engineer. I did my master's from IIT Bombay in mechanical design, and I passed in 1993. And then started working.
Oh, that's a long go.
Yeah, that's long ago. Yeah, so more than 32 years now. Yeah, and primarily I worked initially in software development. So CAD was a growing field at that time. So luckily I got a chance to work in this software development in CAD area. You know, so there is a company called Tata Motors.
We never heard about that.
Yeah, they used to call it Telco, and they were writing their own CAD software internally. Actually, at that time, so I was part of that for some time. But later on, they stopped that effort. Then I joined some other CAD companies, worked for around 8-9 years, and then started Presign in late 2000.
Perfect. You were in Amsterdam a few weeks ago at Siemens Partner Innovation Days, and the big topic was AI in PLM. What did you take away with you, and what made you think, that's interesting, and why?
Okay, so right now there is a lot of buzz on AI, and everybody is thinking about where they can introduce AI. And there are definitely tryouts happening everywhere, I would say. So, for example, like if you talk about Siemens products and Siemens too. So, I sat a lot of their courses on Mendix. So, Mendix is their low-code platform, which basically they use it to connect various softwares to each other. And the software they generate also comes with a chatbot, and it has the AI engine actually built in into that. And that is happening everywhere. So, you know, where it comes to CAD, where it comes to various PLM areas, people are bringing AI topic everywhere and trying to utilize AI one way or the other. For example, let's about Siemens, like their CAD tool NX, for example, it is a command predictor, you know. So it predicts the commands. So it knows that you are modeling, and now it basically predicts that now you are going to need this particular command, and it brings that command in further. So you don't have to go and select, because there are thousands of commands, and it's very easy to basically, if the commands come further, it is easy, and then it predicts. Similarly, it also predicts, for example, if you select an edge, then it predicts that probably you are trying to do a fillet here. Or it goes and finds out all kinds of similar edges, you know, because you want to fillet all those edges or faces. So these are the various ways by which AI is kind of entering into in various products.
And what made you think, that's interesting? So what made you think that could be helpful?
What happens is that, so for example, consider again the CAD example. So the user is actually utilizing his skill and basically modeling something. But whatever happens, you know, like there are some repetitive tasks, there are certain ways, there are certain patterns in which people work. So it is possible definitely for AI to find that out, you know, and AI can basically bring in those things in front and improve the productivity and efficiency of people working.
Why is there so much interest in the whole CAD PLM business when it comes to AI? What are the main topics for your customers, for you, for the machine builders? Why is there so much interest when it comes to AI?
As you know, I think the interest is everywhere, right? So in every field, so beyond CAD/CAM and beyond PLM, AI is being used, and it will be used. We know that it is going to dominate everywhere. So similarly, it will also bring its own things into this CAD PLM world as well. For one is like for the productivity improvement, finding out the repetitive patterns. I think another thing where it can come in is like CAD has been a very highly mathematically intensive field, you know, so there are so many algorithms, CAE also. So I believe that AI will start coming in those areas as well. It will start, you meaning all these algorithms are written in a, there are quite a complex mathematics below. And it is possible that some of that will get replaced with AI models and it will basically ease out or even solve some problems in a better fashion. So starting from that and then removing the repetitive tasks and removing the finding out the patterns and improve the efficiency and accuracy. So these are the things where AI will come in when it comes to CAD and PLM.
Where do you see the main obstacles for AI in the CAD, CAM, PLM world? Where do you see maybe, yeah, we are not there, but there are some obstacles to solve?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question, you know. And see, for example, if you see like past few months, we see that LLM is basically dominating everything in AI, right?
Yeah, everybody's talking about LLMs, yeah.
Yeah, everybody's talking about it doing something. And potentially the language, the text is something which is common to all of us. So that modality is basically everywhere. Then, of course, there are pictures, images.
But language is not the language of the machines, right? So the machines are talking in time series, for example.
Yeah, so I'm coming there. So see, what happens is that, for example, because like LLM is a language of humans, I mean, it interacts in the language of humans. So that's why we can see LLM being used everywhere now. Everybody opens the some AI page and start typing there and asking questions and interacting. Similarly, images and even videos are also, these are the modalities.
Yeah, exactly.
So when it comes to CAD, it's a 3D model, which has its own geometry, its own shape. And now that is basically somewhere, it is not text, it is not audio, it is not video, but it is a 3D model. And I think we need to train models around that or use LLM somewhere in combination with the models which work very easily with CAD kind of softwares, kind of models. I think that is the obstacle I see. And it's not really an obstacle. People will research on that and will definitely bring out models which work very easily, cohesively with CAD data, with 3D data.
Mm-hmm. But as you mentioned, large language models is the language of the human, right? So, but when it comes to machines, the language of the machines are time series, for example. So is there a gap between, let's call it large language models, Gen AI, and let's call it good old-fashioned industrial AI, for example, when it comes to time series?
Today, yes, I think. I would say yes. Today, there is a certain gap because industry has its own nomenclature, its own way of working, and it has kind of 3D models or CAE models, or PLM data. PLM data, you can debate that it is textual metadata along with the 3D models. So this is basically a different kind of data, and that is where the differentiation is coming. Will the LLM and the current way of AI wave, will it catch that? Maybe or may not be. So maybe somebody will have to do something and work on this industrial AI part, you know, that can happen.
In which areas of CAD world do you see the greatest potential in the field of AI and why?
Rather than that, I would say that what kind of use cases are coming in front of me. Okay, so
mm-hmm. Yep.
I can talk about that. So what our customers are doing and what things.
Yeah, sure. Maybe you can share two or three customer examples. Yeah.
Yeah. So for example, you know, like this is something impatient actually. We have our own technology which converts point cloud to mesh and mesh to surfaces. So we are trying internally that instead of using like conventional mathematics, can we use AI models to do the surface fitting? Okay, and potentially the class B surfaces eventually and class A surfaces if possible. So that is basically area where kind of you are basically finding solutions where we used to use the conventional mathematical models. They have their own limitations. So can AI cross those limitations is one area of interest could be to the people. So that's one area I feel people are working on it. Second area in which I've seen that people asking questions is that, for example, right now, drawing generation. So you have 3D models, and from 3D models, there is a way by which you can create sections and do the drawings, but still you have to define the dimensions, place the dimensions, place the views and all those things. Now, customers are asking that, can you auto-generate the whole thing? You know, so that's one. So there's some clients who are going to the model-based engineering, they're asking that, can the PMI, can you identify the PMIs? Can you identify the assembly constraints? By looking at the earlier models, by learning from the earlier models. One CAE customer is asking us that they do the defeaturing actually. So whenever they do the meshing, before that they remove certain features because they know that they are not important and they don't want to complicate the mesh. So now, can you look back our earlier defeaturing and can you basically automate that? So here, what we can see is that in various these cases, in few cases, you are replacing the earlier math algorithms. In the other cases, you are basically improving the productivity of the customer, of the end user. And in few cases, you are using the past knowledge of that customer for the future use. For one of our customers, we did the AFR, feature recognition for the machining thing. So the models have certain kind of features, but machining needs identification of different kinds of features.
So, but you develop these models from scratch, right?
Yes. So not scratch. There are some models already on the net. Open source, we download that, we tweak that, modify that. Sometimes we do something from scratch as well, combination of that.
Mm-hmm. And third example?
Yeah, so another example in the case of GAN, one of our customer, actually he has a product, AI-based product, basically looking at the prop part, it basically decides the GAN strategy, how he is going to machine, basically the whole production plan as well, and then the CAM strategy, and as well as appropriate tool selections and stuff like that. So they are basically deploying AI to basically do all those things. Then many of our customers, we are getting a lot of inquiries, especially in India, is basically, this is not really CAD, but this is on the manufacturing. There are many places where people are standing and finding out the defects in a part, or wrong assemblies, or certain kinds of defects, and they're visually looking at it. So can you use the cameras and identify those defects, So these kinds of questions are coming. So these are the various areas where people are deploying CAD in AI, in CAD, as well as in CAM, as well as in manufacturing, also in CAE.
When I talk to your customers, to the end users, the main topic is not always AI. So often there's a missing or they are lacking of digital consistency when it comes from a 3D model to the machine. What is your opinion on that? Do we need to solve this first and then AI, or should we use AI in every process step and start there?
Yeah, so there are places where things are broken, and the PLM is basically for that, to make sure that the breakage doesn't happen. And not all the customers put PLM, depending on the size. Yeah, so we understand that. So yeah, so that is definitely a problem that needs to be solved by, and the approach can be taken, where different customers take different approach. But the AI is, I would say, it's a orthogonal problem, So this is different problem and that is a different problem. So what will happen? For example, consider that if tomorrow tools start coming in, that suppose, for example, they have a 3D model and now they create drawings and then they send the drawings to the manufacturing, to the shop floor. Now, if you start getting AI tools which generate those drawings very quickly, very fast and accurately, so they will deploy AI there right away. They will not, they are not going to wait for the end-to-end connectivity or something like that. So secondly, for example, when they look at the part and they decide the machining strategy and all those things, and now they get products of this kind that the product basically decides how you basically should go on machining this particular thing automatically, and then decides the strategy and creates the machining course and all those things. And they just verify it at the end of it, maybe do some modifications here and there, send it further. They would definitely adopt for that. So AI is going to come in all kinds of pockets in various ways. And at the same time, also they will have to solve this problem that breakage needs to be covered, if there is a 3D model and then there is a 2D drawing and the model has changed, but the drawing is not updated, obviously. So they need to solve these problems also. But at the same time, AI is going to come in a orthogonal direction and solve many problems in this particular manner.
So Praveen, you have a very good connection to your customers. Will AI create new competitors in your field? And if so, in which areas? Or what are your USP? Or how easy is it for other companies, new companies, to enter the field with AI and to be a competitor?
Okay. You mean that totally new companies are coming into my field, for example?
Total new startups coming in this field. I see a lot of startups entering the CAD/CAM PLM sector. And how difficult is it? Or is it with AI even simpler to enter this market now?
I think so. So see what happens, that we see in every disruption, right? So AI is a disruption. So whenever there is a disruption, new ideas start flowing in and new ideas start coming in. And one of the way to bring those ideas inside the of the startup ecosystem. And the startups would be agile, and they will come back with new ideas. And because of the disruption, even the big companies will start looking at that. You know, like, what exactly are you doing? What exactly are you saying? And there is a good possibility for these startups to get into this field or any kind of field today, I would say, using AI as a weapon or as a tool.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about your home country, about India. How is it positionated in the field of AI? What topics dominate the discussions in India? Is it industrial AI topics, or is it more consumer-driven AI? What are the main discussions?
Okay, let's consider, like, different industries will have a different impact. For example, the software industry. So I'm into software. I keep talking to my other fellow friends working in different companies. What is exactly happening there in AI? So I can see that in software, definitely, all companies are having some initiative or the other towards AI. And be it like bringing into efficiency, speed, putting AI features into their customers' products. So that is one in software industry, Indian software industry. I can see that AI is basically coming everywhere. And now coming to the industrial part of it, I can see that the replacing the visual inspection, finding out the defects, problems, or wrong assemblies with AI is a question almost every shop floor asks today. Okay, so we currently in Prescient, we have so many inquiries actually for that. And they say that, okay, because they all know that AI is good at doing something on images that people understand. And they say that, okay, now because people are observing it and deciding it, can we put the cameras here and identify those things which people are identifying? And that is where definitely in industry, AI is already there. And customers are thinking that AI can basically add a lot of value in that space.
I meant a little bit more a global perspective. For example, the US is mainly focused on consumer AI, talking about ChatGPT, Gen AI topics, etc. Europe's ambition is more to go into industrial AI applications. What are India's ambitions?
Yeah, so I feel that, as we know, that Indian software industry is very big. So AI will come there to improve the total efficiency, and I believe, and on the industrials and the industrial AI, I would say, as which I see on the shop floor and places like that, AI will come in. On the consumer side, for example, I don't know if you mean consumer side, meaning like using open AI or using
direct products for consumers. So, for example, building a chatbot for banking application, etc., etc. So, I think, from when I talk to people in India, they always say, yeah, we want to go the same way as Europe, going the industrial way, going the industrial AI, because we want to be in this area like the Chinese, the Germans, like the French guys. We are more focused on the industrial AI because this is our main topic. Or am I wrong, Praveen?
Yeah, I think two things. So, for example, people like me, who look at software industry and who look at engineering industry. So in both places, I can see the movement on the AI front, number one. But there are so many software companies today, they are writing banking applications, they are writing insurance applications. And I'm sure I can see that chatbots are coming everywhere and trying to do something, and AI is built in there. And many of those applications could have built in India itself. So I don't think that the other industries are kind of lacking or anything like that. So, yeah, I believe the progress is there everywhere.
What about infrastructure in India when it comes to big GPU clusters and stuff like that? Can you share a little bit the strategy of the Indian government, or what is the idea there?
Yeah, so today what is happening is that there is a lot of emphasis on infrastructure building. I believe this question is beyond AI, right? So,
yeah, exactly. But you can focus a bit on GPUs and stuff like that and data centers.
Okay, I think we are quite dependent on the US for the GPUs today. This is my understanding, but I could be wrong, or my understanding could be limited. But today I think we are there to manufacture our own GPUs and use them.
Yeah, exactly. But is there an ambitious to go further, to develop own chips, to go on the edge, to go embedded AI, so smaller models, individual models, specialized models for specialized applications?
I think that will happen. I feel so. That will happen. See, if you look at the trend, you know, the things are changing so quickly and so fast. And then I think the whole direction goes in that particular way. This is my understanding. See, for example, a couple of years back, or even more than a year back, you know, like people would think of training their own models first than basically using the models, you know. But now there are very few places where people are training their own models. They're using some models, they're tracking, that they're training, maybe they're tweaking them further, and beyond that, they're using the RAG system or something basically to augment that. So things have changed drastically. The LLM used to be like, okay, they will write some poems. Earlier we thought they'll write some essays and some news or something, some discussion. But now you can tell them a problem, which is like a business problem, and they can bring out solutions very well, you know. So for example, one of the solutions I saw is where it actually, the problem was given to optimize incoming patients in a lab and managing the workforce internal inside the lab, you know, like they tie up so that people are there to the customers who are coming in. And it optimized, the LLM basically optimized the whole things and gave us a new schedule, you know. So it kind of solved a mathematical problem there. And I was surprised that LLM can do that as well. So people will start looking into LLMs today. So whether, even if somebody is now thinking about some embedded AI, they will start thinking, should I directly use LLM or should I do embedded AI? So because a lot of thrust is on LLMs today. Now the reasoning models are coming and the agents are coming. So people will start thinking in that agentic way of solving problems. I think situation will emerge as we go. But will there be a space for the embedded AIs and everywhere? I think there will be. But we have to see how the situation unfolds. You know? Because it's changing every day.
You already mentioned agents. Maybe my last question on this topic. How will agents change the whole CAD/CAM process in the future? What is your prediction?
Yeah, so they are definitely going to come in, that is for sure. I don't think the use cases have been identified very well, or they could have been identified by people in the pockets, but they are not yet come in front. Eventually, they can come in. For example, I just talked about that CAM thing, you know, and then there is an agent. The agent basically goes and decides the machining strategy. But the agent also finds out that there are problems for design for manufacture, and then it calls back the CAD engine and then gets the part modified and make it better for manufacturing and bring it back again. All those things are definitely possible. So are people thinking about that today? They may be thinking, but are there any products or any solutions in the market of that kind today? They don't seem to look like me. At least I haven't come across. So, but people are going to think about agents immediately.
So agents will become a new communication layer in the CAD/CAM business? Do you think that?
Or they might be driving things like generating PMIs. Yeah, I think that can happen.
Praveen, what is on your agenda for the next, let's say, 6 months? What are you doing? What are you working on for the next 6 months?
So now what's happening is that we have two types of clients, you know. The first type of clients are, they themselves are software companies, okay. And the second type of clients are the industrial end users of such software, you know. So we have both kinds of companies, and we are keenly looking into both the areas. Some of our customers are coming back and asking us to solve some problems using AI, so which we are already started using. Usually, initially, it starts with a POC. When they like it, then it goes further. So that is happening. Similarly, in the industry space. So in the next 6 months, I'll keep looking into both areas very curiously, whether it comes to design, CAD, CAM, and CAE, and also in the manufacturing space. We already have our own solutions in both the areas to an extent. Or some POCs done somewhere, the solutions are good, and there already customers are trying it out somewhere, customers are using it. So, and keep on looking for the use cases where we can bring in the AI and solve them better. That's what I will keep doing.
Praveen, thanks a lot. It was a pleasure to talk to you. All the best and greetings to India.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert. Thanks a lot. Thanks for your time. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.